All right, so how does it feel to see Surprise re-released?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, it's been something that that we've been proud of for years and years and years. And, you know, unfortunately, it was only, a few thousand copies released back in 1989. And it was, because of Joel's passing, unfortunately, the band sort of disbanded for a short amount of time, and we just decided that we didn't think that it would be, you know, appropriate to continue to put them out. But so having them come back again, having the album out again, is just fantastic. I mean, it's listening to it over and over again, it's such a great album.
How did the idea come about to re-release it? Was it just like, oh, wow, 25 years have gone on? Or how much thought went into this?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was, that was pretty much the catalyst. So I thought it would be a great idea to go ahead and just wait. I mean, it was always kind of there. And that this just seemed like the most appropriate time to do it. And, I mean, and, you know, I talked to Mrs. Rundle, Joel's mother, fairly often, and she also thought it was a great idea. And so the recording is actually dedicated to Joel. Surprise, this whole question is dedicated to Joel.
25 years ago, what were your goals for the album, and what are they today?
25 years ago, it was just basically have fun. I mean, we were just the absolute best of friends, lived together, did everything together, and just had a blast. And when we decided to go ahead and put together a recording, in fact, it wasn't even, originally it was entitled 29, which was a road case that we had that just had the number 29 on it. So we were actually going to name it 29, but we had no expectations. We were just out having fun and decided to throw a bunch of original songs together. And then, and as far as today, the wonderful news or thing is that a lot of old fans are just so excited because the songs really put them back in just a wonderful state of mind. It actually just makes them relive and think about some wonderful times they had back in school. But I wouldn't say there's really so much expectation right now. I just think it's awesome to have it out and remastered. It sounds so good, especially compared to the original cassette, which pretty much everyone that has one now has been just worn, you know, to death. But
crispy.
I think people who end up getting it would be very, very surprised, pun intended, because it's the way that I look at it. It was a beginning, I guess, that what you could call for Deluxe. I mean, Deluxe was a really good album from beginning to end.
Absolutely.
And Surprise is the same way. I mean, it's set up to listen to from the very beginning to the end, just like Deluxe. There's a song after song after song that's just so good. I mean, it's crazy.
Speaking of the songs on the album, do you remember how Circle of Friends was written? Is there a story behind that song?
Not so much. I mean, Kevin is always, when it came to the words, I know that many words were written right then and there. I mean, I remember Kevin laying on the floor of the studio and writing most of the words. I mean, yeah, so that's, I don't know. I mean, like, music-wise, it was always, you know, just us sitting in practice room, you know, and somebody will get an idea, and we would go with it. But it's, as far as the meaning of it, no. In fact, back then, I really didn't pay too much attention to it. It was just, for me, it's always been sort of the melody and the actual song. I probably couldn't even back then, I probably couldn't sing you an entire song. I mean, the words, I would hear them every night, and I've heard them, you know, thousands of times, but I never really paid attention so much to the words. I know girls, quote-unquote, I'm doing air quotes, they tend to listen to the words more than guys, and maybe that's true, but, the music to me was always the part that I loved.
Some of the band's most popular songs were put in films like, you know, Empire Records and The Babysitter's Club. How did it feel like, you know, you guys were around for, you know, 6-7 years, and then all of a sudden your films are getting in, like, these pop culturally savvy films? How did that make you guys feel at the time?
Well, it's funny. The most, I think the biggest excitement and the biggest thrill that we would have was going to other cities while we were still in the band and hearing it, you know, going into a pizza joint and all of a sudden hearing Good or, you know, on the radio. It was just, that to us was just really bizarre. And we would be beating, you know, and want to tell someone who's in there, that's us. But to be honest with you, the more and more you started dealing with that and hearing a lot of your songs in the radio and then all of a sudden it's in a movie or whatever, sounds kind of strange, but you don't really think about it so much because you're doing so many other things and you're so busy. It's great and it's exciting, but it's not, I know it sounds weird, but it's not as big of a deal because you've kind of gone past that a little bit. Just with hearing, you know, your songs on the radio a lot. I mean, Good and, you know, In the Blood and Rosalia, those, especially Good, was just played so much and really all over the world. And so we're just pretty used to hearing it. But I guess we got more of a thrill on the radio side of it, I guess, than the movies.
You mentioned earlier that the re-release of Surprise is dedicated to the band's original guitarist, Joel Rundell. For people that haven't heard him play, what do you think he brings to this album that they haven't heard before from the band?
Man, that's such a great question. He first and foremost, he brought so much more to the band than even just the music. I mean, we spent most of our time laughing. I mean, that was all four of us. We just all had such a great time. Joel is one of the wittiest and funniest people I've ever met in my entire life. Just brilliant. I mean, just really, really, really smart guy and was a deep thought a lot. But as far as music-wise, he was a really good guitar player. We were heavily influenced by R.E.M., and he had a real beautiful Rickenbacker, and I mean, in fact, you can hear a lot of some of the songs. You can actually hear, I think, Favorite Blanket is one of them, which is an instrumental on the album, and you can actually really hear his Rickenbacker and him playing. And then there's another song, Winter Coats, where Kevin kind of lets Joel, and he says, "Take it away, Joel," and Joel plays a little guitar solo in there. And it was really very tasteful, but Joel was definitely a key part of the band. Took a lot of pressure off of Kevin, which unfortunately after Joel passed away, Kevin had to we all had to kind of pull up our bootstraps, and it's not that easy, as a lot of musicians know, as a three piece in making a live show sound full. So Kevin did a great job of doing that, but it was just, you know, Joel was just Joel. I mean, he was one of a kind.
You left the band in 1996 at the peak of the band's success. What have you been up to since then?
Well, I have actually, I started a business, and basically it all revolves around Atson. So I actually make products to use used in a traditional French or Swiss accent. So I make those and sell those in North and South America.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Why absent? How, like, is this kind of like, did it start off as a hobby? I mean, it's kind of like, it's a big jump. from music.
Yeah, it is. It's funny. My family's French, so I would go back to France and either visit them or just throughout my travels in France started picking up absent spoons. And I just slowly just started really immersing myself in the whole absent culture. And back then it was, you're talking about like 2000. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, absent became legal again in the United States in 2007. But it was just so bizarre, all these things that were the accoutrements that were used to drink it, and then all the folklore behind absinthe in general, that it made me go crazy, and it was just so mysterious. So all of that really intrigued me, and just started collecting, and then teamed up with a business partner in France and who originally started making all of these accoutrements, and so we started, and then I split off a few years later and started making things on my own. And so he basically handles Europe, and I handle the United States and the North and South America.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Back to the album, bottom line, if you had to sell this thing, if we had to shoot a commercial right now, why do you think someone should buy this album?
I think that if someone wants a good, cohesive, solid album, which is rare, I think this is a great example of a wonderful album from the first song to the last song. Just good songs and memorable songs. They stick in your head. And like I said earlier, I did compare it to Deluxe, which I think is also another album like that. I do think that if radio would decide to really embrace the album, then I think that it could go really, really, really deep. I mean, that's you never know that. There are lots of just really catchy songs on it, and it's very diverse. You have some songs that are really hard rocking, much more so than anything on Deluxe, and then you also have beautiful ballads. So, I mean, it's a diverse album, but it's a complete album, which, again, I think is just rare this day and age.